Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show is broadcasting live from sunny Southern California. You know, we've been searching for this answer. I've been searching for this answer for a long time. And I think we finally got it. The question is, how can the Houston Texans trade Deshaun Watson if Deshaun Watson, we don't even know what the commissioner thinks, what the league thinks, what the likelihood is of him playing this year? So yesterday, in addition to the Washington football team, Roger Goodell opened up on Deshaun Watson. Take a listen.
And until that process is ongoing and we have enough data and enough information to be able to make a determination of whether he should go on commissioner exempt, we don't feel that we have that necessary information at this point.
Take a little, I want one more time, listen to the last two sentences. Go ahead, one more time, Ron.
That process is still ongoing. And until that process is ongoing and we have enough data and enough information to be able to make a determination of whether he should go on commissioner exempt, we don't feel that we have that necessary information at this point.
Okay, so look, there's some potential criminal charges. There's civil charges, that a civil suit that's out there against him, and they don't have the information. It's not really what he's saying is very lawyerly and very true, but the message is, hey, look, everything that's been brought to the table doesn't rise to the level of suspension. So I guess he can play. I don't think there's any question here that what the Dolphins hear in this is you're going to take a PR hit when you get him. But this doesn't feel like it passes the smell test. It just doesn't. And because of it, there's nothing we can do. Like, remember, they've held guys out because of accusations in the past. They've suspended people in the past because of accusations. They have chosen to this point to not even put them on the commissioner's exempt list, and they have been investigating it. I don't know. That's what I hear is he's going to be able to play. He's going to be able to play. There's nothing we can do. We haven't gotten any information to this point that rises to the level of a commissioner's exempt list, let alone a suspension. Byer, do you hear something different in that?
Summarize your question again, if you will, I can answer it correctly.
The question is, how can the Texans, or how can anybody trade for Deshaun Watson? Like, how can you when you don't know what the commissioner's office is going to do with him in terms of the commissioner's exempt list? And when he says we don't have that information yet, you know, and basically saying to this point, you know, nothing we, you know, to put him on that list, you got plenty of information. It just doesn't appear to be the type of information that's going to take him out the football field. That's what it feels like to me.
I don't understand, and I don't know if I'm answering your question. I don't understand the report that Stephen Ross wants to know what the outcome is before giving away what the Texans wanted. Because isn't that the whole deal? If Deshaun Watson is free and clear of the charges and there is a commissioner, whatever, even if it's a year or eight games or whatever it may be, you're still getting your franchise quarterback. But to think that you're going to get him at a discounted rate, it just doesn't – none of it makes sense to me. Like, you either give them the discounted package with the question of him and his status, whether it be with the commissioner or whether it be with the charges that were alleged against him, or he's free in the clear and you just give the Texans everything that they want. To me, there's just no middle ground. I don't understand how you could have middle ground, and I don't understand why the Dolphins would ask or say that they want to know. Everybody wants to know what his status is. Texans want to know what his status is going to be. The Dolphins want to know what his status is going to be. So I don't know why there would be some middle ground unless the Dolphins were willing to pay less with the possible risk that he may not play for them or have a substantial suspension.
Jason, what do you think?
I think that Goodell's comments, as you just said, I think he seems to be giving teams, or the Dolphins specifically, the go-ahead to make a trade. He does leave himself an out here by saying, up to now, we haven't been given enough information. I'm going to continuously be the guy who is like, how does any team, let alone the Dolphins, bring this guy in knowing what's going to happen? I know you say it's a PR hit, and I think Dan has said on this show that it'll be like a one-day news cycle thing, but think about it. Deshaun hasn't really been forced to answer questions. You have to put him in front of reporters, and then your entire organization is going to be hounded by, you know, the woke mob and everybody else. It just seems to me that that's not worth this, plus the assets. But
I didn't say it'd be a one day. I did not say that. I just think at some point they're going to move past it.
I really think if we look at, and it's different because it's a quarterback. Roethlisberger. What people forget about Roethlisberger was, okay, Roethlisberger is really suspended for three things. There was a Lake Tahoe deal. There was the Georgia deal, which ultimately led to suspension. And in between, you guys remember he had the motorcycle crash where he didn't have a helmet on. He went over the handlebars of his bike and busted his head open. You guys remember that? And it was everybody believes that he was suspended for the accusations in Georgia. It's really a lot like the Ezekiel Elliott thing where it's just like, dude, you got to be stop being an idiot and putting yourself in this position. So we're just going to suspend you. So I think, if you have this level of accusations, and some of the accusations, just if you actually read them, you're like, really? But the fact that there are no, I don't believe there's any pending criminal charges against him. It's really hard for us to figure out any sort of what's real. What do I think happens in terms of the media? I do think it's he'll have one intro press conference, will be uncomfortable. He'll read some sort of statement. He may do some Q&A, but these are personal things that don't pertain to football. And if they're not a criminal case and they probably won't go to civil, you know, they'll have to settle or whatever. Like I do think they go away. Does it paint the picture of he's got a weird sexual history? Yes. Okay. And this is a guy who, I mean this when I say it. Like, I didn't like that he was holding out. I didn't like what his agent, because his agent did this with Jalen Ramsey before. That's what his agent's kind of known for. They signed a contract, got paid for the first 3 years of the contract up front. And then before the contract really went live, because the last season was actually under the old contract, he was like, I don't want to play for you anymore. Like that just, and that was, it was after the Nuke Hopkins trade. So I was anti Deshaun in terms of his stance from the start. I talked to NFL people and every one of them are like, well, you know, if Deshaun Watson, this is actually a quote from another GM, if Deshaun Watson isn't good with how an organization is run, I side with Deshaun Watson because there's a guy who has a pristine background, right? So he has positive equity. I think a lot of that is gone. But I do think you cash it in and then you move on and you start playing great football and I think things change.
I mean, you're closer to this than I am, Dan, but like when all this came down, I think Deshaun had originally said something along the lines of, I've never disrespected a woman. And I remember thinking to myself, that's just simply overcompensating for something. When somebody says something like that, I'm thinking there's something there. It's like a person that says, I never argue with my wife, which it just isn't true. And what are you hiding? So I kind of got the feeling then, unless he said something since then that has been different than that.
No, that's, Again, the disrespecting your wife, like, again, everybody has a definite, it's like the, it all depends on what your definition of is. Like, I kind of feel like we all kind of know what feels like happened, right? I just, again, I know we're available on Sirius Satellite Radio, but I don't feel like I can, we're also under the watchful eye of the FCC, so there's...
Well, yeah.
You know, and again, doesn't make it okay. Does it rise to the level of criminal activity? To this point, the Houston Police Department says no, right? So,
well, no, that's not correct, because they just haven't completed their investigation. That has not been, they've had their own allegations.
That's a fair, and thank you for the correction. But wouldn't he have been, like, these are not new allegations. Wouldn't he have been charged?
He's the starting quarterback of the NFL franchise in Houston. And
I understand, but some of that works against you now. Okay. Some of that works against you. We're like, this is what happened to Plaxico Burress, right? Plaxico Burress shot himself in the leg. He's already humiliated. It felt like double jeopardy when he went to jail for it. But New York wanted to make a point. No one is above the law in terms of carrying a gun. Carrying an unlicensed firearm. So he went to jail for shooting himself in the leg. Right? I do think that there's a level of, yeah, he doesn't, and by the way, he said he doesn't want to be Houston's quarterback. If they had the stuff to charge him with, remember, he doesn't want to be in Houston. He wants out. Now, it's nothing to do with the city of Houston. So I understand what you're saying, Dan, but the reality is, not the starting quarterback, wants nothing to do with the franchise, simply wants to go somewhere else, and they still haven't charged him. Again, I don't know what happened, neither do you, neither does the Twitter sphere, neither does anybody else. I can guess, I can suppose, that's not how I've rolled, but I also would tell you that I'm just trying to use logic here. Wouldn't logic tell you that, especially in these times in 2021, where we're trying to make up for the fact that women have not been protected well enough by the law? Wouldn't there be charges already? Is that reasonable? Is this reasonable? Again, thank you for the correction, Dan. You're not wrong. I was wrong in terms of where they actually are. It's still an open investigation. But it's not like it just got open investigation last week.
That's gone on for a while, yes. Okay. And even when I said that of him being the starting quarterback, you're right. I don't know if double-edged sword is the right analogy to use on it, but there's a way where you have to be super careful, and then there's the other side of it with, like, I think the Burress situation that you mentioned with New York, and I think that's why
it's just like in school, and like everybody remember this from when we were if you were in high school, right? Like, everybody thinks, like, oh, well, teachers always help out the jocks. Well, there might be a teacher that helps out the jocks. There's also might be a teacher that is anti-jock. Happens in college as well. You'll have one, my marketing professor when I was at Oklahoma State, okay, also kept the stats for the basketball games. Right? Lee Manzer, Dr. Lee Manzer. He taught a great class. But he was as harder on me than he was any other student. His son played basketball. His grandson now is a walk-on on the team and is going to play at Oklahoma State, right? So here's a guy who, on the surface, bro, that should be an A. You get Manzer's class, it keeps your stats at the game, right? It's an A. I got a C. It was like the hardest class I took at Oklahoma State. Why? Because he knew I had to be better than everybody else. So I think that along the lines of the police as well. Will you have people in police departments that may, turn a blind eye or give the benefit of the doubt to somebody famous? Yes. But you'll also have people who are like, nah, man, we got to be extra vigilant and make a point to somebody who thinks they're above the law. So I do think it works both ways. And the reality is, there's not, to convene a grand jury and to get charges against somebody is not that high a bar, and they haven't done it yet. Doesn't mean it won't happen. But again, this is part of what Goodell's saying. Like, look, there's no charges. We have no information. Yeah, I think he can play. It's weird. By the way, do we have the Tua sound? Do you guys have the Tua sound again? Because the Tua sound is different. All of these people are quoting Tua Tagovailoa saying, "I do not feel wanted." But I don't, I think he did the, didn't he do the double negative, Dan?
I don't not feel wanted. That's what I could say. Honestly, I don't base my emotions off of who says anything about me or who's saying what.
No, but if people are misquoting this, I'm looking at all these quotes that say, "I don't feel wanted." That's not what he said. He said, "I don't not feel wanted," right?
Yeah, yeah. I did see one report that had it correctly, but I have not. It's odd that Twitter would be wrong, but yeah, to your point, it is the double negative.
Twitter wrong.
I don't not feel wanted.
I don't not feel wanted. All right. I mean, listen, the double negative strikes again.
It's like idiot test.
At MD Snakeheads says, "It's not TV, Gottlieb show. Investigations take some time, especially involving 20 women." I understand. I do understand. This is not a new investigation. Everything has been turned over. So they've interviewed these women. I'm not sitting here telling you that, please don't think I'm telling you I think that these actions are appropriate. And if he sexually violated any woman, he should go to jail. But I'm not the law. I don't know the accusations, whatever. I just know that when there's this level of attention to a case and there's been nothing in terms of levied charges from the criminal side, it makes everybody go like, I don't know if they're real.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. So, I think Mike Tomlin, one of the reasons he didn't want to coach in college is coaching football in college, instead of having one owner, you have, these boosters, you'll have like 30 owners, only none of them are actually owners, right? They're not actually your boss. And then you do have a boss and your athletic director and then your president. And then, of course, you got the board, the regions, they got all these different bosses. Whereas in the NFL, it's kind of simplified. You're like, I answer to the GM and the owner, president maybe. And usually when you're hired, usually, not always the case, but usually there's a pre-existing relationship between coach and GM, right? Otherwise they wouldn't have hired you. And even if there's not a pre-existing relationship, the GM wants you to succeed because if they hired you, right? I mean, this is your guy you hired, isn't it? So in addition to that, you got to worry about parents, right? You got to be recruits, high school coaches, handlers, all this. Plus you got the league commissioner, you got opponents, you got your own staff to worry about that you have to manage. You're managing so many things. Like, people talk about how highly paid the college coaches are. That's because you have all of these idiots who do what I do that don't take a breath and go like, do you not have any idea how hard that job is? How many people you're in charge of? How many, when one thing goes wrong, it's your fault. Right? And you got 85 college kids on a college campus on scholarship. And you're responsible for all of them. I think what Mike Tomlin is like, dude, I don't want all that. I just want to coach ball. Now, the difference is in the NFL coaching is you got to manage your staff, your relationships with your front office, okay, your roster. You got to, X and O's is a huge part of it. And the last part, and this is not only to professional coaching, it's to college coaching, but you got to manage egos. Egos. So the Chicago Bears had Mitchell Trubisky. They lost confidence in him. He wasn't good enough. They went out and got Andy Dalton, Then they draft Justin Fields. Justin Fields kind of fell in their lap. And so almost immediately, the calls to play Justin Fields instead of Andy Dalton were growing louder and louder and louder. What's lost in all of this is, like, look, Justin Fields did not have a great year at Ohio State. He had a great national semifinal game. Great. But success in college football quarterback does not predetermine success in the NFL quarterback. And there is a reason that he, you know, I don't know if he fell in the draft or whatever, but remember, he was the number one high school recruit in the country. Of course, couldn't beat out Jake Fromm. I think a lot of that is it's hard to beat out an incumbent in college. It just is. It's hard to beat out an incumbent, period, but especially in college. Transferred to Ohio State. And had an incredible year and then a good year last year, but there wasn't the next step that people thought he would take. So to go where he went in the first round, while anybody who has the right perspective would tell you that is, it's great. It's not as high as people thought he would go. And there's a reason for that. Not a refined product, right? He sees it and rips it. If not, he runs it. He's not, there's a lot of stuff to clean up. Take a listen to Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson. And he said this about the offense with Justin Fields.
That's something that we're continuing to build on, you know, again, continuing to get reps in practice. Again, I mean, it wasn't, you know, many snaps that we took throughout training camp and stuff like that. So, I mean, a lot of these things, you know, again, we're just trying to build on.
So what he's saying is, like, look, I mean, he's taking all the number one snaps. He wasn't taking all the number one snaps in free agency. So people think, well, this is the team coming after Matt Nagy for not giving him all the reps. Like, again, here's where it's different to have Andy Dalton as opposed to Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. And I know that Trey barely played football last year and Trey came from a smaller school, but Trey's a higher first round pick. The difference is Garoppolo had been in the system, knew the system like the back of his hand, and there wasn't any learning curve. And he did have the sweat equity of having taken the Niners to the Super Bowl the last time he was healthy at the end of a season. Andy Dalton came from a year where he was supposed to be the backup in Dallas and then became the starter, and they didn't have a good year. This after losing his gig in Cincinnati when they drafted Joe Burrow. He doesn't have sweat equity, but he also doesn't have a total knowledge of the system. Okay. So with that in mind, if you don't have knowledge of the system, if you don't have sweat equity, you have to take those number one reps, those first team reps. You absolutely have to. And of course, Fields gets kind of left by the wayside. I'd also guess that Matt Nagy was following the script of what they did in Kansas City when he was there and they drafted Pat Mahomes. That all got turned upside down when Dalton got hurt and they played Fields too early. And now they're playing catch up. I don't think that's losing the locker room. But again, it all comes down to your relationship with your players, your ability to communicate and manage those egos. Thank you, Dan. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. TJ Husmanzada is going to join us momentarily. Reminder, check out the latest lines from World of Sports at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You must be 21. You must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. While we wait for TJ, Charlie Morton, hey, Charlie Morton pitching with what was determined to be a broken leg last night was pretty outstanding, wasn't it, Beyer? I mean, you know, takes one off the leg, continues pitching, and then like, oh, hey, by the way, he's out because he's got a broken leg.
It was, 16 pitches that he was able to throw after the fracture, or at least where he was hit by the ball. So maybe the constant throwing, you know, made it worse. But when I saw the tweet of, yeah, then should be ready by spring training. This was obviously a few hours afterwards. It was like, oh, wow, that's how quick and done it was. But, yeah, quite a performance. I thought the Braves were going to be in trouble when he left because it was only the bottom of the third inning. And you're thinking, okay, you know, everything went wrong for Houston at the start. Maybe things would turn around. That was not the case.
Well, Framber Valdez they were just hitting him, you know, just hitting him. And we'll get to that in a bit. Let me welcome in TJ Husmanzada, who joins us. Of course, Hoosh is co-host of Up On Game Saturdays at noon Eastern on Fox Sports Radio. You can download that as a podcast as well. Plaxico Burress with him, LeVar Arrington with him. It's called Up on Game. Hoosh, let me ask you about Chicago. Okay. You know, they're coming out and like, hey, Matt Nagy didn't give Justin Fields enough reps with the ones in the preseason, so they're kind of learning on the fly. My point was, yeah, that's because the plan was to start Andy Dalton, and Dalton is new to the system, so you had to get him the reps going. Do you think that was a mistake to not give Justin Fields the reps early?
You know what's crazy is this. When they say he wasn't given the reps with the ones, our offensive system is our offensive system. Whether you get reps or not, we're not changing the entire offense. We've installed this from the offseason during training camp. Our offense, it doesn't change. Now, we've probably added and taken out things, but the base of the offense doesn't change. Whether you got reps with the starters or not, you should understand the offense. You should understand what's going on. You should understand when they call a play, where they want to go with the ball, what they're looking for. Do the reps help? Absolutely, they help. But that's an excuse of, oh, he didn't get reps with the ones. Nobody gets reps with the ones unless you're a starter for the most part. And when you go into the game, you're expected to produce. He is a rookie. They could simplify it for him, but getting reps with the ones, I don't understand that because the offense isn't changing.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, let's get to some of the other issues. Tua says, I don't not feel wanted, meaning he's not made to feel unwanted, but it continues to look like they're going to go and trade for Deshaun Watson. Are you sold that Tua isn't good enough?
He looks good enough to me. The problem isn't Tua on the offense, it's their defense. The defense is the reason they're not winning games. Tua, I mean, if anybody that came in the year that Tua got drafted with COVID, no offseason, the training camp was – it was just a different dynamic than anyone had ever experienced. And he was hurt. So his rookie year is in essence, somewhat lost. And anybody that understands football will have to admit when you watch him play now, he's not the reason why they're not successful. He's playing good enough for that team to win. It's the defense. Tua can play football. They might have been skeptical, and they might have their reasons why. But when I watch the game, Tua is far from the reason that the Miami Dolphins is successful. I mean, when you go down the list, you're not even going to get to his name. You're going to get so many others before that, and it may be some of the coaches, but it's not Tua's fault at all.
How do you fix Kansas City?
It's simple. Well, I mean, it sounds simple. Just play basic football, Doug. They're averaging over 5 yards a carry. Run the ball. Run the ball. You know, they got real fancy, and they got a lot of, let's put Tyreek at quarterback. Let's put Travis Kelce at quarterback. Let's motion out of this. Let's do this. Run the ball.
They got cute.
Run the ball. And that two high shell that you're getting, guess what happens? It turns into a one high shell, and now you can start attacking them down the field. Andy Reid has always been the coach that wants to pass to set up the run. Teams are saying, we're going to let you pass, but you're not passing down the field. Just run the ball, get back to the basics, and I believe teams will change and play you differently.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, are you a buyer into the Titans? Now they dominate Kansas City, and they beat Buffalo in a great football game a week ago Monday.
The Titans are just really good, man. Vrabel, he's a really good coach, man. And I think early in the season, it was – you didn't know what you're going to get. And part of it could be they lost their offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, to the Falcons. And they were just kind of trying to figure out how they were going to play and what they were going to do. I don't know what it was, but I'm a buyer into Mike Vrabel as a head coach. He gets guys to play hard. He gets guys to understand what the other team is trying to do. And so if Mike Vrabel's the head coach, I'm a buyer in it because I really like what I see out of him.
Okay. I'm fascinated by the Bengals, your old team. And I did feel like I identified it early in the year that I liked it and the defense looked way better. I didn't know they would be this competitive this soon. Did you?
I felt like year three with Burrow would be the year that they would take off. So they're a year ahead of what I thought. And the reason I said it was because him coming off a knee injury, I didn't know mentally how he would dude is just very, very strong mentally. Like, he believes in himself. And mentally, he had a little hiccup in camp where they were all, you know, he looks a little Dude just gets it done, man. And the crazy thing about it, all their best players on offense are young, on rookie contracts, minus Joe Mixon. They can really build a team these next few years to be very competitive before they have to play Burrow, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase. I didn't think it would be this soon. But now that it's happened, they have an opportunity to give you years upon years upon years of really good competitive football. I'm looking forward to it. I hope they can sustain this and nothing happens, but Joe is the right guy just because of his mentality.
Cleveland is rumored to be willing to pay Baker into the 30s in terms of $30 million per year. Would you do that if you were Cleveland?
Isn't it the price going? I mean, it's almost you almost have to. Now, if we're talking low 30s, mid 30s, high 30s, I'm more to the low to mid. I mean, it's the going price. You almost have to. That's what these quarterbacks are getting nowadays.
I understand, but it's like, you know, like the keeping up with the Joneses, nobody thinks he's Mahomes. Nobody thinks he's Lamar. Nobody
thinks
he's...
And that's why they're saying in the 30s and not the 40s, right?
Yeah, I mean, but it's like no one's done this. Why not let him go in the open? Why not let him go in the open market? Why not let him go in the open market?
What would you be willing to give him?
I would structure it in a way in which it's in the 20s. I would structure it in a way.
Honestly, Doug, do you think somebody's a quarterback? There's no starting quarterback.
All the rookies.
Right.
Okay. Right. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Wait, hold on. Ryan Fitzpatrick was?
No.
It's all the
no
guys in the second and third deal. The star guys all have these big deals. Kirk Cousins has a deal. It's a terrible deal.
Oh, okay. And then, where's Ryan Tannehill? Him and Baker are comparable. What is he making? And that's my point. It's almost like you have to pay him this. Now, if we can stay under 34,
he's making 20.
35.
Hold on. He's making per year. Real quick. He last year he made 37 in cash, but this year it's 24. Next year it's 29.
So average is about 29, 30 million. That's the going rate. Now you ask what I pay him. I would be somewhat reluctant because our team around him is so good.
Right.
And we're still scratching and clawing just to get to where we want to go.
Correct.
And so Bucky Brooks uses the phrase, and he said it once, and I really like it. Are you a tractor or are you the trailer? The tractor can pull everybody. The trailer needs to be pulled. Blake Baker may be a trailer, and so you have to be careful. But I like his competitiveness. He's shown you he can win. He beat the Steelers last year in the playoffs. He just needs really good players around him. And so if they can get rid of Odell's salary, then they can afford to pay him because obviously they don't use him. They don't value his talent. He's dropping balls because he's pressing because he's not getting the opportunities. So, yes, I would pay him, but I would not go over 34, 35 a year.
All right, I'm going to send you some video of our guy Hayes setting the edge as a wide receiver on a little block. You'll love it. You'll love it. In the meantime,
man,
who
you
should
got to send me the schedule so I can get out and check him out.
We were in L.A. We were in L.A. Last week. They got a little squad. You'll like it. My man T.J. Hushman's out. Check him out. By the way, part of it is he's busy on Saturdays when they play football because he's hosting Up on Game at noon Eastern on Fox Sports Radio. You can also download that as a pod. Hush, you're the best. Thanks for joining us.
All right, Doug. Take care, bro.
You know, Colin Cowherd said something interesting about Russell Westbrook. I know. He's on the Russell Westbrook deal. But I think you'll be interested to hear what he says and then my thoughts on it. It's next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time, we play for you a portion of a previous show on Fox Sports Radio and Fox Sports One. We call it
Now.
This is Colin Cowherd talking about Russell Westbrook last night.
For Westbrook, a Tuesday night against the Spurs, LeBron's out, play 35 minutes. He's incredibly comfortable. You're going to get 15 games like last night for Westbrook. You get the gamut with him. The game didn't have a lot of nuance. That's why at 32, he feels kind of washed. And at 33, Steph Curry, whose game has a ton of nuance. LeBron James at 37, 38, his game has a ton of nuance. They age better. Westbrook's game is rough. And I think his comfort zone are these games like last night when you just can let him go. It's an average opponent, play a bunch of minutes, and he feels free. LeBron's not on the floor. He gets the ball. He can control it. You're not going to get those in playoff games. It's not a criticism of Westbrook. It's not about being right with Westbrook. But I think what you've seen in only four games with the Lakers so far, four or five games, you've seen the entire Westbrook experience. Get used to this. There'll be these nights where like, woo, like 33 points in 28 minutes. You're going to get these. And then you get to get the games like the game one where you cannot believe how bad of a shooter is. You'll get all of it. You'll always get energy. You'll always get minutes. And that's why the Lakers brought him in. It wasn't for postseason excellence. They're going to go to AD and LeBron in those spots. That's not why you brought him here.
I actually agree. I mean, look, postseason is a big contributing factor and a big issue with this team eventually, but you can't get there until you get to through the regular season. And Russ, without any question, will help them in the regular season. The issues of shooting and of minutes and of role, they'll still be there in the postseason. But what Russell Westbrook can bring to the table, and he brought to the table last night, is twofold. One, some shot creation when LeBron is playing, but two, more than anything, if LeBron is not or if Anthony Davis is not, he can do what, frankly, Dennis Schroeder could not. And honestly, you know, there was a lot of talk. There's a lot of talk about, you know, the guy they actually wanted was Buddy Hield, right? And then they changed their mind. That's because Buddy Hield can't do that. Buddy Hield in the big game is better at stretching the floor, is probably a better defender at this point in his career than Russell Westbrook. But Buddy Hield can't carry you on a night when LeBron doesn't have it or doesn't play. Here's Dan Patrick talking about Charlie Morton, the starter for the Braves.
Now you have Charlie Morton, who got hit in the leg, and he stayed in to strike out Jose Altuve. He got hit by a 102-mile-an-hour liner, a comebacker, and broke his leg, fractured his leg, stayed in, wanted to stay in. That's where you get legendary status. Now, we've seen this before. It's like if Kirk Gibson hits the home run and the Dodgers don't win the World Series, it's a footnote. It was game one of 1988. Terrell Owens played in the Super Bowl and played brilliantly with a fractured leg. What if the Eagles had won that? Jack Youngblood of the Rams played in the Super Bowl with a broken leg, but they didn't win. Curt Schilling, bloody sock. If they don't win, all right, man, he's a gamer. He pitched through pain. It's a nice story. When you win, that's when you get elevated to legendary status.
I agree. I mean, in this particular, he was amazing, all things considered. And the Braves did, in fact, win. It's just, I don't think this is going to be that lovingly covered series that anybody will make him synonymous with great historic effort. Discover match all the cash back you earn your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted 99% of places in the U.S. Take credit cards, learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report limitations apply. Wait to hear what Daniel Jeremiah has to say about the Packers next.